From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, this is Gene Triplett, entertainment editor for The Oklahoman and NewsOK.com. Here with George Lang today to talk about movies opening in these last few days of October in the Oklahoma City market. And we're going to kick it off with Michael Jackson, This Is It, which George saw.
That's right.
Just the other night. Tell us about it, George.
Yeah, you know, I can't say that I had a whole lot of high expectations for this movie because, I mean, let's look at it. This was based on rehearsal footage, and they put it together in just a few months. I mean, you know, Michael Jackson died on June 25th, and so they didn't have a whole lot of time to put together something that was going to be substantial, or at least so I thought. But Kenny Ortega, who was Jackson's choreographer and is a perfectly serviceable movie director. He's directed the High School Musical movies and mm-hmm. things like that. He had access to all this footage, and depending on who's doing the estimate, it's anywhere from 50 hours to 120 hours of rehearsal footage.
Wow.
And so, and all of this was taking place in the spring at the Nokia Theater and at the Staples Center there in Los Angeles. What you end up with is really something surprising. I was expecting something kind of, you know, gloppy and, oh, we've lost this beloved superstar who is beloved by millions and all of this. But what we ended up with is something really interesting, and that's about, you know, how this guy worked. And one of the things that we kind of got away from when we were covering Michael Jackson and about, you know, and all of these scandals and everything that was happening to him in the last 15 years of his life or so, is that this guy was a perfectionist. When he was recording Off the Wall and Thriller and things like that, I mean, this guy was paid attention to every single detail in the songs that he wrote and how they were brought forward. That was still very much true during these rehearsals. This guy was in control. He was, he would go through and critique the dancers on every subtlety of their moves while he's dancing, no less. Okay. and in addition to that, he could pick out real subtleties in how musicians were playing. There's this one really instructive scene where he's talking with his keyboardist Michael Bearden, who is also the musical director for this tour that never was. And Bearden's playing the keyboard part from The Way You Make Me Feel. And Jackson is trying to tell him, there's a slight delay on this one note, you know. Mm-hmm. And Bearden can't tell the difference, but but Jackson said, he's insistent. He's got to make this change on it. And finally, it comes down to Jackson saying, "I want it the way I wrote it."
Right.
I mean, he's being tough with people.
Yeah.
And there's also elements where he's being, you know, sort of, you know, paternal and kind of encouraging to people. The guitarist that he had hired, this young Australian named Orianthe Panagaris, who, you know, has gotten a lot of attention because she uh-huh. appeared in that leaked footage that appeared shortly after his death.
Right.
She's playing the end guitar part for Black or White. And she's really wailing because she's an amazing guitarist, and Jackson's just like, he's trying to get her to go a little farther with it. You know, this is your time to shine, is what he's telling her. But it was really, I think beyond that fact that the revelation that he was not just sleepwalking, he was very much in control of what was going on. There's also the fact that his performances are pretty strong here, and this is rehearsal, so it's not everything's perfect.
Right.
What he's not always singing everything because he knows he doesn't have to,
right.
but he's still hitting the notes and he's still dancing really well. He was 50 years old, but you really couldn't tell a whole lot of qualitative difference between his performance at 50 and how he was performing at, say, in his late 20s.
Yeah.
So, really an amazing thing. And so you get and Ortega has put together some things like, film and video sequences that they had put together. Like there's this new zombie sequence for Thriller. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely different from what John Landis shot in the classic video. But it was going to be in 3D for the performances there in London. Pretty amazing stuff, and it integrates pretty well. Even if you're not a huge Michael Jackson fan, this is really fascinating stuff because it just shows how you put together a huge show like this and particularly how Michael Jackson did it. So I think it was certainly a surprise for me. I gave it 3 stars because it's not a perfect document by any stretch, mm-hmm. But I was completely, I was kind of mesmerized by it because I wasn't expecting something like this.
Yeah.
Really interesting. So by all means, whether you're a Jackson fan or not, go see this. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a big Jackson fan myself, but you've got me really.
Yeah, definitely. I think you'd be really interested.
And I guess it makes it all the more tragic that this promising, what looked like a big comeback, didn't happen.
I said it in the review. He really, you can tell, he really wanted this comeback bad.
Yeah.
You can tell. And you know, if he had pulled it off, if he had lived to do it, I think he would have gotten it. I think he would have gotten that comeback. Who knows if he had any decent new material ready to go. It doesn't look like he did. But it might have provided the sort of impetus for him to, say, okay, look, see, I'm here. I'm still here. I'm still doing this stuff. This is what I'm supposed to be known for.
Right.
Not all that other stuff that you've been talking about. So I'm back and the next thing, maybe another album. It's definitely worth seeing.
And it's a limited run. When does it end?
Well, it's a limited run. They say that it's 2 weeks, but
we'll see.
Come on.
You're still selling
tickets.
If
they're making money off of it, I think it's probably going to be still in theaters. But yeah, as of now, it's a 2 week run. So yeah.
Okay. Another film opening this Friday, October the 30th, is the brand new Coen Brothers film. And I'm always, chomping at the bit to see thing that Coen's put out. This is not your typical Coen Brothers movie, but is there such a thing as a typical Coen Brothers movie?
No way.
Because everyone is different and defy categorization. But this one, the Coens, it is their most personal film because they mine their own childhood here. Mm-hmm. A Serious Man is Joel and Ethan Coen's seriously funny portrait of an ordinary guy who can't catch a break despite his devotion to his faith, his family, and his academic profession. It's set in Minneapolis, suburbia, 1967, which is the time and place of the writing-directing brothers' boyhood. The typically Coen quirky cast of characters and situations are undoubtedly drawn from their own wonder years, then darkly exaggerated to serve their own subversive comedic purposes. Larry Gopnik, who's a Tony Award nominee, stage actor, not very well known, mm-hmm. plays Michael Stuhlbarg. Tony Award nominee stage actor. I'll get my tongue untied here in a minute, who plays Larry Gopnik, who's a physics professor who teaches mathematical quantities in the classroom while his disastrously uncertain personal life is spinning out of control. His wife, Judith, played by Sari Linick, has announced that she's leaving him for their insufferably pompous friend, Cy Abelman, a perfectly solemn Fred Melamed at his best, who seems to be a more reliable source of security and support than the ineffectual Larry. She's also sick and tired of Larry's neurotic and unemployable brother, Arthur, played by the hilarious Richard Kind, who's become a permanent fixture on their couch and when he's not loitering in disreputable bars. And if that's not enough, Larry's son Danny, played by Aaron Wolf, is a pot-smoking washout in Hebrew school, and his bar mitzvah is only days away. He's also subscribing to the Columbia Record Club under his dad's name, and Larry keeps getting calls about overdue payments for record albums he'd never even heard of. And His daughter Sarah is stealing money from his wallet to save up for a nose job, and one of his students is simultaneously trying to bribe him for a passing grade and threatening to sue him for defamation of character. An anonymous enemy is writing nasty letters about him to the university tenure committee. He's frightened of his gun-toting redneck neighbor who lives on one side and driven to distraction by his neighbor on the other side, who's a beautiful pot-smoking brunette played by Amy Landecker, who likes to sunbathe in the nude all the time.
Excellent.
Yeah. unlike Job, Larry's patience and his sanity is wearing thin, and he desperately seeks answers from three different rabbis, young and old alike, who only mouth these pious platitudes that indicate they're just as clueless as he is. Somebody tells him, it's God's will, you don't have to like it. So it seems no one can help him cope with things and become the mensch, the righteous, serious man he longs to be, like Cy Abelman is seen. The Coens have long wanted to make this film about their experience growing up in a Jewish community in the Midwest of the 1960s. It's apparently a lot different than growing up in the Jewish communities of, say, Los Angeles or New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a baffling world where the goofy F Troop was a smash on TV and the Jefferson Airplane was singing trippy songs on Top 40 radio. The line, when the truth is found to be lies and all the joy within you dies, is repeated often in the film. A serious man won't sell as many tickets as the award-winning box office successes that enabled the Coens to make this little film, but it certainly must have satisfied him on a personal level. And the audience that does turn out for it should find a lot of satisfaction in Stuhlbarg's amazingly controlled, sympathetic performance. He really finds the humanity in this guy. And this good man who's suffering the undeserved slings and arrows that living can inflict. It's through his really skillful portrayal that the Coens have effectively told this story in their usual unconventional way about the human condition and all its symptoms. It's really a remarkable little film.
It sounds like something more on the level of a Barton Fink. You know, in terms of that kind of inner dialogue that's going through it and all of that, and the exploration of one person's kind of angst.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
More on that level of Coens than what we've been seeing recently.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, a comedy of angst. And it's, but nothing like the wild, nightmarish, you know, in violence.
I'll show you the life of the mind.
Yeah. Yeah. No shotgun toting crazy people in there.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. I think last we have a little movie with Andy Griffith.
This is one of those that's sneaking in, and it's called Play the Game, and it's about a grandson who's sort of, he's in his early 20s. He kind of envisions himself kind of a player. He's played by Paul Campbell in this review by Roger Moore from McClatchy Tribune. He kind of describes him as sort of a younger Ryan Reynolds. He's got this grandfather who's played by Andy Griffith, who's kind of widowed and needs to kind of get back into the game a little bit, and dating. And this guy is trying to teach his grandpa how to be a chick magnet. And so it kind of follows where he has these odd dates with a woman who's played by Doris Roberts from Everybody Loves Raymond, or Liz Sheridan, who played Jerry Seinfeld's mom on Seinfeld, and all of this. Moore says that it's really it's pretty tame stuff, and as it's directed, it doesn't really gel. That doesn't have a good rhythm to it. I'm a big fan of Andy Griffith. Never mind the Andy Griffith Show. That's a great, it was a great classic. But he's a lot of people forget some of the stuff that he did.
Facing the crowd,
playing Lonesome Roads in that, and recently he had a great standout in Waitress. So it's always interesting to watch this guy, but apparently Play the Game is not the forum for it. So he gave it 2 stars. So that one's sneaking in at AMC. So, but they said that it's kind of a, you know, a gentle, what they called an AARP friendly romantic comedy. That seems a little condescending to me, but there you go.
Yeah. Well.
So, but anyway, it looks like the, you know, I mean, the big ones to watch this weekend are without question A Serious Man and Michael Jackson's This Is It.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I gave 3.5 stars to the Coen Brothers' newest offering, so highly recommended. And that's about it for this week. Hope you'll join us next time for another batch of movies. For George Lang, this is Gene Triplett. Thanks a lot.